We live in a very strange, confusing, and even nonsensical time. A time when the primary virtue often seems to be tolerance. But where tolerance doesn't mean what it used to mean, which was merely putting up with evil, enduring evil around us, but rather now it means accepting and even embracing evil things as if they were good. A time when charity is defined as never saying anything that might offend someone else, no matter how destructive we know that their behavior may be. A time when it seems sometimes that the only sin is recognizing someone else's sin. At the same time, we're told that we can't judge anyone else unless, of course, we judge them as guilty of some offense against, for lack of a better term, political correctness. In which case, of course, the all-important virtue of tolerance doesn't apply because it's okay to be intolerant towards these people. We see this all around us, all the time. From the school that recently punished a first grader who committed the grievous crime of calling a little boy by his little boy name, Tommy or whatever, when he had decided he wanted to be called a little girl that week. Two radical groups suppressing free speech on campuses. We see it all over the place. And we even see it growing in the church as well, as various churchmen urge us to refrain from preaching the hard sayings of Jesus, lest we offend someone and cause them to feel in some way left out or excluded in the church. Sometimes, as I said, we call this political correctness, but really, all too often, that term is much too benign a description, as more and more this involves the enshrinement of lies and ignorance, often through violent coercion. And the thing is, all this runs directly against the message of Scripture, taken as a whole. Over and over again, Scripture tells us that we must judge the things around us, the actions of others, the actions of ourselves, but also the actions of others. Not in the sense of deciding who's going to heaven or hell, or whether this is a good person or a bad person. Only God can know that. But we have to make objective judgments about what is good and what is evil, including the actions of other people. Today's first reading for the book of the prophet Ezekiel tells us, if you do not speak out to dissuade the wicked from his way, the wicked shall die for his guilt. But I will hold you responsible for his death. Here and elsewhere, Scripture makes it very clear that we have to recognize sins around us and that we cannot merely silently tolerate or accept them. And it often people try to take the Scripture out of context and twist the words of Jesus to somehow justify tolerance or acceptance of sins. Remember, not the sinner. We always love the sinner. We hate the sin, right? One of the common examples that is pointed is when they say that, well, you know, Jesus ate and drank with all sorts of people who were considered sinners, as Scripture says, even the Gentiles and the tax collectors. And so they try to use this to convince us that Jesus was accepting of those people's sins. But they forget that what actually happened was when the pious Jews complained to Jesus about his eating and drinking with people who were clearly, objectively leading sinful lives contrary to the law of Moses, Jesus didn't rebuke them for being intolerant, telling them something like, well, just get over it, or you need to be more flexible, or something like this. But instead he said, people who are in good health do not need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not the self-righteous, but sinners. Christ judged the tax collectors and those others that he ate with to be sinners. And he compared them to sick people. There was something wrong with them that needed to be cured. Now, Now, some are confused by this, and they point to texts like today's second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, where it says, the commandments are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no evil to the neighbor. Hence, love is the fulfillment of the law. They argue that being judgmental and intolerant isn't loving. And loving is really all that matters. Again, being judgmental and tolerant, meaning accepting evil and embracing it even. So they say you don't love someone if you don't love their sin. But St. Paul doesn't equate love with making other people feel good or avoiding making them feel bad. He's not saying that we don't have to keep the commandments if the alternative feels better. He's saying that the commandments themselves tell us what true love really is. True love is not committing adultery, no matter how good it feels. It's not loving to kill someone or to steal from them or to lie to them, no matter how many problems it might solve for you, how much it might make you feel good for the moment. St. Paul says love does no evil to a neighbor. But doing something, let me say this, not doing something can sometimes be the same thing as doing something. Elsewhere in Scripture, Jesus says, I was hungry and you gave me no food, sick and you did not visit me. Truly I say to you, as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. Is it loving to just stand by and let your neighbor starve to death? No. Well, then how is it loving to just stand by and let your neighbor be destroyed by evil and maybe even go down the road to hell? By not doing something to help, that is the same thing as doing evil. An intentional sin of omission, we call it. If your brother is sick, you have an obligation to help him. The very least you can do is to tell him that he's sick. Warn him. You need to go see a doctor, even if he doesn't want to hear it. How many times do we not love our neighbors? Truly love them. Love them enough to, even as Jesus says in today's gospel, go and tell him his fault. Not with hate or contempt or a feeling of self-righteousness, self-importance, I'm better than you, anything like that. Nothing like that, but with patience and compassion and a depth of love that isn't seen in the cowardice of taking the easy way out of being silent and tolerance. In love, I would not tolerate cancer in my brother. And I will not tolerate sin in my brother's life. Instead, with patience, prudence, and in love, I must, as Ezekiel tells us, speak out to dissuade the wicked from his ways, trying to turn him from his way. Doesn't matter if you feel uncomfortable or even afraid. Remember when Jesus spoke out, they killed him. We must obey Jesus, who is love himself, and loves more purely and completely than all mankind combined, but at the same time tells us, if you love your brother, if your brother sins, go and tell him his fault. Now, sometimes our lone voice isn't enough to convince the people we're close to that what they're doing is seriously wrong or evil. And so Jesus goes on to tell us, if he does not listen to you alone, take one or two others along with you. And so, you bring friends together and you talk to your friend who's in trouble, who's sinning. First, you go yourself, privately. If that doesn't work, you bring some friends and try to help in that way. But sometimes not even the voice of all the friends and all the family in the world is not enough to wake us up to the dangerous presence of sin in our lives. And so Jesus goes on to tell us, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. The church sometimes teaches things that are very unpopular. Unpopular, but true. But all she's doing when she does this is hearing what God says and warning his children, her children. Most of the time, the church warns her children very gently, like a tender mother. Gently, but firmly and clearly. But sometimes, when necessary, Holy Mother Church warns her children by being very strong and strict with them. And sometimes she's even forced to cut them off from full communion with the church. For example, she denies Holy Communion to any person in the state of mortal sin, especially public sinners who publicly, obstinately persist in grave, manifest sin, such as pro-abortion Catholic politicians or divorced and civilly remarried Catholics and Catholics in so-called same-sex marriages. Sometimes she even goes as far as to excommunicate some of her children, whether it's a theologian spreading the poison of heresy or someone involved in procuring an abortion of an unborn baby. In love and as a last desperate resort, she treats them according to Jesus' own specific instructions, just as God commanded the Jews to treat them as they would a Gentile or a tax collector. In other words, an outcast from the community. But at the same time, she treats them as Jesus treats them, a Gentile or a tax collector. Yes, they're cut off, they're outside of the community, but she goes to them still over and over again and calls them in true love to recognize their sins, to amend their lives, and in the love of Jesus to receive his wonderful forgiveness and reconciliation with him and with his bride, the church. As the saying goes, even the devil can quote scripture. But we must not be misled by people who quote one or two lines of scripture out of context or twist common sense beyond all recognition. Instead, we must not be afraid or intimidated into forsaking the truth and the complete message of the Word of God. In a culture that's more and more confused about the true meaning of love and the true meaning of tolerance, we must always love our neighbor enough to never confuse love with a silent toleration of evil. Because the God who loves us and calls us to love each other and to help each other is not confused at all. He tells us very simply, if you do not speak out to dissuade the wicked from his way, I will hold you responsible for his death. Because love does no evil to his neighbor. Praise be Jesus Christ.